Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Adrian Wigley, IT Services Manager at Shawbrook Bank. And there's no reason why you can't have five, six, seven careers in, you know, over your life. I don't see why that's such a problem anymore. You know, you were saying just before we started, Adrian, that your interests have kind of varied, you know, and that's worked for you. But I can imagine that you've had pushback throughout your career because of your background, even though you're probably more than capable of kind of actually getting the job done at certain points.
That is very true. That I started off, I initially wanted to be an electrician. My granddad was an electrician. He ran his own small business, repairing TVs with valves in them and such like. And I always saw myself doing something in that sphere, a bit more hands-on in terms of more touching circuit boards and screws and that, as opposed to computing. But I ended up working in the motor industry for a retailer, for a parts retailer, and also for quite a large motor dealership. And that was a good start. But my first proper job, so to speak, was working for BT, and that. I was never happy doing that particular role in terms of working on a drawing board. I worked in a drawing office, and it felt very 1950s. And I was always looking for new opportunities within BT, and I had it forced down my throat so many times. You don't have a degree. Now, excuse me, whether that's just an excuse of we don't think you're suitable, you're not right for the organisation, whatever, but it was always you don't have a degree, you don't have a degree. So I took redundancy from BT when they got rid of an awful lot of people in release 92. And I used that money to get myself a degree. Still unclear where I wanted to go in terms of career-wise. I took a general business degree.
But did you feel pressured into kind of going after that degree?
You know what? A little bit. And with the benefit of hindsight, that was pressure that I should have pushed back on, because I read a very interesting comment the other day. I can't remember who it was by someone saying I wasn't ready for education till my early 20s. I don't remember who that was, someone reasonably famous. And I think it's a fair comment that the person I am these days, obviously you're a product of birth, upbringing, and all your experiences, but I'm such a different person now to what I was at 21, that now if someone says to me now, oh, you don't have a degree, you're not getting that promotion, you can't have that job, you would push back on that, and you would really state your case across and overcome that in some other way. Whereas me as 21 wasn't quite the person I am now. So yeah, I did feel pressured into that. And it's funny that now, I don't know if it's the case because everybody's got a degree, or it seems to the CVs that come across my desk, whether it's now that important. I'm not sure once I'd got the degree, it made any difference to me really, because it was in business. And I majored in marketing with it. So, yes, I've used some of that, but I don't think it's made a lot of difference to me. I just think having a degree The thing I've always seen with having a degree when you're younger, so you're just out of university, it shows to an employer that you can manage yourself, you can manage your time, you can handle the pressure, you can manage money because you're living away from home. I think that's more to me at that stage what a degree is about, other than the content of the degree, of course, unless you're going off to be a doctor or a scientist or whatever. So I really did feel pressured on that. But once I'd got the degree, I almost fell into IT, which is such a, when I look back at it, sounds so silly because I was always the top one at computers at school. There was only two of us that got top grade on that, and I was one of them. And I always used computers at home, but I never sort of, I almost felt that it was a closed industry to me. And again, this goes back onto your point around everything's now more transparent, everything is more open. So if I wanted to learn, I don't know, let's take COBOL programming. When I was at college, we did a trip to the old ICI factory in Doncaster. And we went there as a sort of a college trip, and the guy was saying that he said, oh, it's really, you won't be able to get into programming, it's really difficult. But if you want to work in computers, you can come work in here and you can be one of the operators taking the tapes off and all this sort of thing. It wasn't quite punch cards, but it wasn't much beyond that. So it was very much the closed shop. But anyone now, if they want to be want to learn how to be a C-sharp programmer, I want to learn SSIS or SSAS, off you go onto the internet. If that's not good enough, a few quid a month, they'll get you on lynda.com or CVT Nuggets. You'll be a qualified expert in it if you put the time into it. So it felt very much a closed shop back then. I guess, again, not being the sort of person I am now, I wasn't kicking those doors hard enough, so...
But if you wanted to go straight into the working world, there's a massive pushback on that. And it's quite hilarious, really, because you think about university and some of the papers that you had to write and the things that you had to cover were quite high level. And then just to do all that work, you then get rewarded with like an entry level job where you're literally doing nothing, you know, that anyone could do without a degree. So it's like, why is that the system? Why does that exist? So now the value of a degree compared to what it was 10 years ago is not even close. So people don't even really care. It's like, oh, you got a degree, great. So is everyone else. But yet the prices keep going up and they're getting away with it. So it's like, it's the only business model in the world that's getting away with, you know, a lesser product, but, you know, being able to just astronomically raise the prices. So the whole model's broken. And the whole way that the organizations look at a CV and look at what people have achieved, that also needs to change as well. So there's a disruption there waiting to happen. I just think that, you know, we need a big player in the space to kind of put one foot in front of the other and make some change.
Yeah, it's interesting because I did work for a university for a couple of years before joining my current employer, and that was an arts university. And I remember we having conversations that they were charging the same money. It was limited to 9,000. I think it's 9,500 now per year. And whether something will change in terms of, okay, that's an arts university, so we don't need so many artists, so you can charge 18 grand a year. Whereas, okay, this is a university doing something that we do need. The government will subsidise this more, make that 4 grand a year or something like that. So I do envisage that probably that model of charging the same for everything for a university degree, I feel that will change going forward, is my thoughts on that. But yeah, when CVs come across my desk, looking for a degree is less important, really. It's not one of the top things that I look for. It is on the person spec that goes out to Pete, that goes out. But if someone said, I don't have a degree, it wouldn't wouldn't cause me any concerns. I'd be actually interested to know, okay, what did you do with those 3 years of your life instead? But going back to what you were saying earlier about people doing the degree and then going into a lower paid job, there's a couple of points on that. One is that, touching on what I said earlier about not being ready for education, I used to read all these papers from people like Charles Handy and all that sort of thing. And my lecturer said to me, he said, if you can't summarise those 10 pages in one paragraph, you don't understand what he's talking about. And I didn't, because I couldn't, so I didn't understand what was being written there. Nowadays, I'd go, okay, this is what he's saying. But also, being at school, there was the YTS scheme, which some people may remember, the government scheme where people were paid an amount by the government, well, I think it was £35 a week back then, to go work and in effect be a trainee or like similar to an apprenticeship. And when I was wanting to go, okay, I'm going to do my A-levels, there were people I knew at school that were filling in the forms for this, and you were quite degrading to them. They go, oh, you're off to be a decorator or you're going to be a plumber or something. But that was something they were immediately being trained in their job. Yeah, they're only being paid 35 quid a week or whatever, but that would have paid dividends for those people now running their own plumbing firms and decorating firms and things like that. So I think it is a bit of a shift away from, oh, you've got to follow this path, O levels, A levels, degree, and off you go. Because I would have found that, I think if I'd have followed the typical path, that I would have gone, finished my A levels off, gone to university, and I'd be an accountant now or something like that. Yeah, maybe I'd be in a higher position than I am now, but I'd rather follow something a bit more interesting. But I do wonder and possibly even worry about education, because I've got a 15-year-old in year, I think it's year, you call it year 11, I think, these days, and then a 5-year-old that's just started reception. So you do wonder that what is the way forward? There's been all these pushes to get rid of A-levels, so to put in diplomas and baccalaureates and all that sort of thing. And baccalaureate, just was a waste, really. And you keep going back to A-levels. But if they make the wrong decision and end up with something that's not valued as highly, that can stay with you for a little bit of time in your early 20s. And then where they go beyond that in terms of a degree, and even if you can afford to send them on a degree. And also about a degree not being worthless, but a degree being much less than it is now. I don't have a master's degree. I got as far as a postgraduate certificate. And it almost feels a little bit like that master's degree in my field is where the standard is at. So I almost feel a little bit undereducated. Definitely don't feel, yeah, that's completely the wrong word. Little undereducated against other people. But again, that
what are you though? You know, that, I mean, what is it really about? I suppose, what would they possibly have learned, you know, after then going into the world of work and, you know, being engaged with the same things that you've been engaged with? Like, there just isn't the difference there, you know? There just isn't. You know, I've worked with plenty of people. I don't have an MBA, but I've worked with plenty of people that do. And I don't understand what the difference is. You know, you just...
Yeah. I think it all depends in what field you're in, because the CVs that come across my desk is people have got MBAs in computing science. It's all very, very high level, and realistically it's beyond what we do in the team of SQL developers. It's not that I feel any less for it. It's just very much, I guess, for a lot of people is a tick box. And it's something I would like to do just for, I guess, the completion of the tick box. But in terms of if I wanted some education, I'd be looking at more vocational style training that would assist me in my job. That's more important to me. When I finished university, it was a conversion from a HND to a degree, so it was a one-year course, and it was a non-honours degree because you didn't do the dissertation. So the plan always was for the following year, do the dissertation, turn it into an honours degree. But I actually took that money and spent a whole heap of money on Microsoft courses instead. So I then was trained up in Microsoft Access, VB, that sort of thing. And that started me off, gave me a much better grounding in moving into being a database developer than doing a dissertation on, I can't even think what the dissertation could have been on, but the implementation of some new printer drivers or something. That spending that money on the Microsoft courses stood me in far good stead than a formal educational degree or honours degree.
So I think the kind of the next stuff that I do want to ask a little bit about is it kind of flows quite nicely from what we were talking about, but the technical work that you will have done now, becoming a manager, becoming much more non-technical. The questions are really specifically about managing technical people now. How much more we expect from in my opinion, of technical people now? They're supposed to understand all the kind of business goals and outcomes and understand it from, you know, a high level perspective.
I think in terms of a technical person, and as you build any team, you'll have different skill sets within that team, and some people within the team, you're more than happy to shove them in front of the business and they'll go talk, they can go to move across to talk their language. And some other people, you have to manage that in a different way in terms of getting the requirements across to them, that you can't do it in that way. But it is interesting that, what we have here is we've got quite a few people in the business that are technical or technical-ish, and we can very often get the issue where they start solutionizing instead of just looking at the problem. I've got this problem. They come to you with the solution, which in some cases does bring value with it. But I think it can all be a bit too dangerous if you get too much crossover, because then you may get different opinions and people move into an understanding of each other's areas is certainly worthwhile. But if you start moving into each other's areas and start interfering with that, I wouldn't expect to be discussing payments I wouldn't expect a developer to be discussing payments with someone with a financial background and start trying to re-engineer what they do. I wouldn't expect the same vice versa. That'd fall to a business analyst, let's say, or process re-engineer. So, it's an interesting comment. I do find that technical people are moving much more towards the business knowledge, and that I think that is so important. And you do see how they see these jobs on fantastic salaries, and it's a technical role, but it's the understanding of the business areas that really allows that person to add value. But the other way around, I've had experience in more than one case where an accountant with technical knowledge that doesn't necessarily bring as much value because they've created some horrific spreadsheet system that no one else understands. I've never really thought of it like that. It is interesting about how that is perceived one way to the other. Yeah.
I think it adds frustration because, you know, the business people, their skills, etc. A lot of it is all obviously built around kind of soft skills, and the technical side of things, they're just expected to get things done, right? I just wonder whether the level of understanding is there, and whether the, I suppose, the concept of a product manager now, or is a product owner, is, I suppose, they're kind of the middle ground there that are supposed to be able to, you know, liaise between the two. But it's just that, it's just an observation, I suppose.
Yeah, the way I would look at that is that IT, to use the general term, the business is our customer, so they come to us with an issue, with a problem, with something that needs solving or fixing, and we're the ones that would have to go and understand what that problem is to give them the solution. So it is, we're providing a service, and I've always seen IT as a supporting service that enables people to do their jobs, whether it be data, to give them pieces of kit to work on, to ensure they can log into that equipment. So yeah, they are our clients, so we move to their space to understand what they want. So I think that is needed, so we can understand what we give them back. So yeah, and everyone calls it just IT. And it's not, it's so diverse. We have change in IT in the same department. So my boss is a program manager, and it just happens that I head up the technical part of his function. So I look after SQL development, supporting the data warehouses, the databases, and also business applications. So it is such a wide-ranging thing, and it's always, oh, it's just IT didn't deliver this. So yes, I think it's they are our customers, so we need to provide what they want. They will. It often starts with a single line, and then we have BAs and to go off and turn that into more than just one line. So we then step into their space.
It's interesting that I suppose you've seen kind of both sides of it, really, from a technical perspective as well.
Yeah, actually, to sort of go back to the first thing we were talking about, saying I sort of fell into IT. Since I'd finished university, I got a temporary job working for a government agency. I think it was what they called a Training and Enterprise Council, and it was basically a claims processing. So there would be training providers out there within the city where I lived. They would train people, and the government would pay them for training people. So they'd submit claims, and my job was to process those claims. It was quite a good job for someone that's with that attention to detail. You'd notice missing bits of paperwork or whatever. But they were deploying a new system to hold and store and process all these claims. And I ended up getting involved with the testing of it. And that is has stuck with me ever since. I remember working on this system, and you'd tab from all over the place. So if you're trying to enter information, you'd expect first name, tab, surname, etc. The way you would tab, it'd tab all over the place. So top, bottom, all over this form you're trying to input data into. Some of the bits you're trying to type into, the tab never went to. So you're always having to use the mouse to move it about. And that's really what got me into IT, was being a tester on that particular system. And it stuck with me ever since, from a usability and a user interface point of view. I always think back to me using that system, getting so frustrated. So if back in the day when I was doing development that involved forms and that sort of thing, I would always make sure that the tabs were in the right order and that everything could be accessed from the keyboard, not just from the mouse. And it's interesting how that experience molds you going forward. It wasn't related to working in IT, the job at all. I just happened to use one. But it was one of the most formative things of going forward as a developer. I'm going to make sure what I give is usable.
All right, so we're at 30 minutes now. Last kind of question for me, I suppose, is, you know, with the varied career that you have, you know, I love kind of, you know, the honesty and the openness you've had about kind of how you've approached your career. And I think that it's kind of a tribute to just pursuing interests, right? And I'm a super fan of that. You know, moving forward now, what do you think is kind of yet to come for yourself?
I think being where I am now, I'm in the organisation where my experiences, the effort that I've put into my role, and the team's put into what we're delivering has given me quite a rapid rise. Because I've had that slightly different career in terms of taking a little bit of time out to run a village shop and contracting and stuff like that, I joined here a couple of years ago as an ETL developer, and now I moved through team lead to IT data manager and now IT services manager. And one of the things I had with one of my old boss was, he said to me, you know what, he said, if I'd have seen your CV, because he did interview me, he came in on the interview, but towards the end, he said, I'd look at your CV and I would ask a question of, looking at what you've done, looking at your age that's on your CV, I would question why you're earning that much money and you're doing that much and you're doing that job, why you haven't progressed beyond it. And I said, well, look, this is my history. This is what I've done. He said, you know what, that all makes sense and it makes you a more rounded person. So in terms of going forward, I think I've had a rapid rise. And I think probably I've got to where I probably would have, should have, could have been sort of thing. Whether there's a lot to do within this role in terms of projects, in terms of upgrading SQL servers, getting the SQL server state to where it should be. And there are a lot of projects coming forward, working in a bank, always regulatory stuff coming forward. So I would imagine that progression will slow down quite considerably. But I do see sort of onwards and upwards into sort of a more heads of a role going forward. I do laugh and joke about, I'm looking forward to proper middle management where someone tells you what to do and then all you do is tell someone else what to do. So I'm quite looking forward to proper middle management as opposed to having to do it myself. But I think I do hope that I make a good IT manager because I'm very hands off the keyboard now. Very rarely does any form of Visual Studio get opened on my laptop. Slightly more often Management Studio, but it's Visio, it's Project, it's Excel, it's Word that's open up on my taskbar at the moment. So because it's such a fast-moving world, it's such a fast-moving business that I do worry about getting left behind if I'm not a decent, effective IT manager. But touch wood, so far, so good. And as we said at the very beginning, that if I suddenly find myself needing to learn some new tricks in SSIS, there's always YouTube to go back to. But so far, so good. And yeah, I'm sure there are more rungs to climb, but I think that progression will slow, and the bank here as it's grown, they put reorganizations in place, and I think now things are in place where they need to be, and I think it will stay as it is now for some time, so that'll allow me to settle into my role and the teams under me to settle as well. So
awesome. Adrian, it's been fun, mate. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.